Oh, hello. There's a lot of you here right now. I know why you're here. You're here to see and hear about Jesus of Nazareth, aren't you? Of course you are. That's fine. That's the only reason anyone would come to talk to me. My name's Noack, if you didn't already know, and I'm just a lowly fisherman. I've been a fisherman most of my life, and my partner Moshe and I finally were able to buy a boat, and we would go fishing. And fishing is hard work. It's the end of my workday, even though it's early in the morning. I know some of you look really tired, but this is the end of my workday. You guys have to start and work. This is the end of my workday because fishermen, we go and we work all through the night and in the early morning. That's the best time to catch the fish. And at the end of the day, when you all have to go to work, I get to go to bed. So it's no trouble that I talk to you right now. I don't know if it's going to be late for you guys to get to work or wherever you're going, but it's not a problem for me. As you know, fishing is hard work, and we have to work hard late into the night when no one else is up to try and catch enough fish to sell at the market, and more importantly, to feed, you know, my wife, my pregnant wife, and our two kids. It's hard labor. It's difficult. It's tiring. It's exhausting. It's thankless. But it's not always hard and difficult. Every so often, Moshe and I would go to the local fishing guild and we'd get a new guy to come and help us fish for the night or for a week. And whenever we got a new kid, like a kid who's never gone fishing before and he's out of town or he's visiting relatives and he needs some work or he's starting to get into the fishing industry, what we would do is me and Moshe would, my partner Moshe, we wouldn't even have to say anything. We knew what each other were thinking. We'd be in the boat and I'd tell the kid, "All right, throw that net in here." And I'd start yelling at him to like make him all nervous. "Throw the net in the water." And he, "Oh, okay." So he's throwing the net in the water. And then Moshe, while I'm yelling at the kid and he's trying to figure out what to do with the net and how the net works and everything, Moshe would go over the railing of the other side of the boat and into the water, and he'd go swim around to the other side. He'd go underwater and he'd grab the net. And then the kid would feel something. He's like, "Whoa, I think I got something." I'd start yelling at him, "All right, pull." And he'd start pulling, "No, pull harder." Ah, and the kid's all, and then Moshe would come out of the water, climb up the net, and slap the kid in the face. And he was like, "Ah," he'd freak him out. You have to have those moments of happiness and fun. One evening, it was just Moshe and I. And we were on the boat, and we hadn't catched anything for days. It was one of those times where forget about selling anything, forget about making a profit. We just needed food to feed our families. And the night was starting to turn into day, and we just had not caught anything. And so we took one of the larger nets. And it was just Moshe and I. And usually when it's only two people, you don't use the largest net because it's too big. You need at least three, if not four people to use it. But we were just we were so desperate, we were hoping to get anything, just a few things that we could take home to our families. So you can imagine our surprise when we threw it in and it was filled. It was huge. There was nothing but fish in it. And so we're trying to hold on to it. Moshe was over there, I was over here, and we're pulling on this net and trying to pull the rope in, but we're losing it faster than we can pull in the net. And so I took the big rope and I put it around my back and I held it here and I tried to leverage my body to pull it in. And then I lost my footing. As I lost my footing, I could feel the rope digging into my back, and it spun me around, and my back hit the railing of the boat, and I lost consciousness. When I woke up, I was in my home, and I saw my wife, and she said that I had had an accident. And I tried to sit up, but I couldn't. And I tried to move my hand, but it wouldn't budge. I don't have to tell you that being paralyzed is a death sentence. Sure, people can take care of you and they can feed you and clothe you, but pretty soon, within a few weeks, you begin to develop bed sores. And soon after that, those sores get infected. And the infection turns into a fever, and then in a matter of weeks, you're dead. as I laid there on my mat, I thought to myself, what was going to happen to my family? Who was going to pay all my debts? What was going to happen to my wife and my kids and my unborn child? A few days after the accident, Moshe came over with some of my friends from the fishing guild. And he told me that he'd heard about Jesus from Nazareth. And he was here in Capernaum preaching. I had heard some stories about miracles. I hadn't thought much of it. And Moshe pretty much told me, he didn't ask, he told me that he was going to take me and bring me to go and see him, and maybe he could help me. And so they took one of the fishing nets they had, and they put it under the mat I had and I was laying on, and with one guy in each corner, they picked me up, and they took me out of the house, and they started moving me through the streets of Capernaum. And as we were walking, one of my friends bent down, and he said, "Don't get your hopes up. I heard that the Pharisees came here all the way from Jerusalem to hear Jesus talk." Great. The Pharisees. Those religious leaders controlled every aspect of our life. If they wanted to shut down this meeting, then they could shut it down. If they wanted to make sure that no one could come see him, they would make sure that no one would come and see him. They controlled every aspect of our lives. As we walked through the streets, I could hear a crowd in the distance. And then as we turned a corner through an alley, I heard Moshe curse under his breath. And the guys turned me around, and from the mat I could see there was this massive crowd coming out of this house. I mean, there's more people outside than there were inside. It's huge. But Moshe bent down to me. He says, "Don't worry, Noach, we're going to get you in there." And so he went up, and they started hollering and asked people to move. And he was yelling at them and screaming at them. And then the other guys started trying to force their way through. And then Moshe started tackling people and trying to pull them out and get them out of the way. But there was just too many people. It was just so dense. Tired and exhausted, he just crouched down next to me and looked at me and looked at the crowd and looked up at the house. And then he said, "Come on, guys." And I said, "Moshe, just don't worry about it. Just bring me home." He probably couldn't help me anyway. They picked me up, but instead of going home, they took me around the crowd to the back side of the house. They took me up the external staircase, up to the roof of the house. I said, "What are you doing?" And they put me down. And Moshe said, "We're going to dig through the roof, and we're going to drop you in front of Jesus." And so they started digging through the roof. They started digging through the straw and the mud that thatched the rooftop. And they started digging. And as they started digging, I could hear the voice of Jesus. I could hear him talking. I could hear him teaching. And as they dig, and they dug, and they dug, and the closer they got, all of a sudden I heard him stop preaching. I heard him stop talking. There was nothing but silence, only the sound of digging. And finally they broke through, and they picked me up. And the four of them lowered me through the roof. I was laying on my mat as they were lowering me down. And in the corner from my mat, I could see the Pharisees just standing off in the side. And they were whispering to each other, and they were talking and pointing at me and pointing at the roof and pointing at Jesus. They weren't happy. And then the mat spun around. And right in front of me stood Jesus. My last hope at life. I was on the ground. And from the roof, I heard Moshe yell. He said, "Master, please heal our friend." And with that, all four of them took their ropes and threw them into the hole. Jesus looked up at that hole in the ceiling and up at Moshe for the longest time. And then he looked down at me and he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." And I tried to sit up, but I couldn't. And I tried to lift up my arms, but they wouldn't move. If I'm being honest, I was disappointed. From the corner of my eye, I could see the Pharisees whispering and talking, and they were furious. And for a moment, I thought that they were about to yell at Jesus and tell him, have compassion on this man. If you can help him, have compassion. And I thought they were about to speak, but before they speak, Jesus spoke. And it was like Jesus could read their minds. It's like he knew what they were thinking. They weren't concerned about compassion. They weren't concerned about kindness. They didn't even care about me. They thought that Jesus has blasphemed against God because only God could forgive sins. And they were right. And Jesus looked at them and said, why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say? Stand up and walk, or that your sins are forgiven? And then he turned to the crowd that packed into that house. And he said, but so that you will know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin. And then he looked at me and he said, stand up, take your mat, and go home. And then I did. I just stood up like nothing had happened. I bent down and I gathered up the mat and the fishing net, and I walked through the house, and the crowd just parted in absolute silence. And as soon as I got outside of the house and past the crowd, I began running all the way home. I ran so fast that most of the others couldn't catch me. And I burst into my house, and my wife saw me and she started crying. And my kids saw me and they started laughing, and they were crying and laughing again. I never saw Jesus again. Don't get me wrong. I wanted to stay. I wanted to say thank you. But I had to follow his command to go home. But I learned something that day. I learned that it was better that God forgave me of my sins than that he healed my body. And so now I'm still a fisherman. Moshe and I still go out fishing every day. Life hasn't gotten any easier. Sometimes we have great days, and sometimes we have days where we go a little hungry. But ever since Jesus healed me, I've learned to, whenever I have those moments of happiness, those moments of unexpected kindness, whenever I'm having a good day and things are going well and we have a good catch, I allow the good things, the little blessings in life and the big blessings in life to remind me that God has done the best thing he possibly ever could do for me, and that is to forgive my sins through Jesus. I let the little blessings in life remind me of the largest one, that my sins are forgiven in Christ. And whenever I have a bad day, when life falls apart, when it seems like God is nowhere to be found, when we face tragedy after tragedy for a day, a week, a month, a year, I let that remind me that no matter what, God has given me the greatest blessing I can ever have, and that is the forgiveness of my sins. So the same is true for you. Allow the little blessings in your life, the big blessings in your life, to remind you that you have the greatest blessing you can ever have, and that is forgiveness of your sins through Jesus Christ. And when you're having a hard day, a hard year, or a hard life, let it remind you that God has given you the best thing he can ever give you, and that's the forgiveness of sins. The greatest miracle, the greatest blessing, is the forgiveness of sins.